May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What we have before us in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians gives us deep insight into how St. Paul understood his relationship to God through Jesus Christ. We hear of a faith which is simple, yet with profound implications for living the Christian life. Paul does not speak of faith as being an intellectual faith, but instead plain for all to see. He writes, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul did not come proclaiming the mystery of God, as he writes, in lofty words or wisdom. Rather, he came to them, in his words, in fear and much trembling. Paul's knowledge consists of what some have called the scandal and mystery of Christ's death on the cross. And the light of the cross, he knows that he is grossly inadequate to preach. That is the task that lies before him. Have you ever been asked to perform a task that you were not up to? This happens to all of us at various points in our lives. I've shared with you that as a child, I was not good at really any sports, but I attempted to play sports. And whenever I would go out and play, especially basketball, I was terribly anxious and felt inadequate for that task before me. You know that racing feeling that your heart gets, better known as anxiety, when you're about to do something in front of other people that you know little or nothing about. It's the opposite of what we do where we feel really comfortable. People throughout my years have said to me, "I don't know how you get up every week and speak in front of groups of people." And you know that public speaking is perhaps considered to be the most feared thing amongst Americans, to get up in front of people. Well, for me, especially as a child, it was trying to do anything with a ball in my hand. The book, Values of the Game, by the great basketball player Bill Bradley, speaks of what brings you to a task despite the difficulties. He writes, in basketball, just facing the crowd sometimes takes courage. The crowd intimidates and wears you down. It is unforgiving. It can inflict personal pain, as it did to me in my rookie year. He writes, the fans in New York expected nothing less than immediate stardom from me. And when it didn't happen, they became hostile. What kept Bill Bradley keeping on playing the game was his courage. It seems to me that inherent to the faith that Paul professed was his courage to look within himself for that strength to come to know God. Paul believed the simple truth that God or Christ was within each of us. And to come to know yourself is to come to know God. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "My speech and proclamation were not of plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." And then Paul instructs us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Most people think of themselves as bodies with a spirit, when the truth of our faith is that we are spirits or souls within a body. When we look within our bodies, ourselves, we come to find the Christ that is within each of you, each of us. We come to know the Christ in our heart, the God within. And what blocks this process at times for all of us is the so-called worldly wisdom, which was as true in Paul's age as it is in our own. Today, the wisdom of such things as technology, information, productivity, consumerism, though not bad in and of themselves, challenge our abilities to know the wisdom of God. And Paul is proclaiming in today's letter that we heard that the Spirit within you teaches you about God. That when you come to know yourself better, you come to know God better. St. Augustine wrote it this way, believing that the knowledge of the self leads to the true knowledge of God. He writes, "The knowledge of earthly and celestial things is highly prized by the human race. Its better people, to be sure, attach even greater value to knowledge of the self." So perhaps you should ask yourself two questions. Do you have the courage to look deep within yourself to know God? And what worldly wisdom do you let get in the way? So we hear this letter, and then we hear the gospel today, where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." As we are getting closer to the end of the Epiphany season, we are again reminded of the contrasting images of light and darkness and God's call for us to be light. And when we discover God's Spirit within us, then we become the potential light to share Christ, share the good news with others. When I was very little, I've shared with you that we initially grew up in an apartment in New York City. And right across the hall from our apartment was my first cousin's apartment. And she was the same age as I was, and my sister 3 years older. And when we had special treats, we would get to go over there, my sister and I, for a sleepover with my cousin and my aunt and uncle. And so we'd all be gathered in going to sleep in her bedroom, my sister and my cousin in her bed, and I was on a sleeper sofa that opened up in her bedroom. And as soon as the lights went out, we were all equipped with flashlights. We had flashlights just in case. And it took only seconds before one of us would shine the light directly in the eyes of another. And we'd whisper, "Are you asleep yet?" Well, of course not. We were blinded by the light now shining in our faces and hiding under the covers to escape it. That memory stays with me as I reflect on Christ's words to be light. Because a light that shines too bright or directly in one's eyes does not attract, but rather drives away. Think about a deer in the headlights. It also has the potential of bright light, too bright of freezing someone where they stand. A Christian which bears witness to the light of Christ without regard to how it affects other people, say in the name of culture or in the name of technology, whatever it might be, alienates rather than attracts people to the gospel. Being this kind of light is the antithesis of the way that Christ and Paul patterned their own lives. Both of these individuals were respectful of their audiences. They said, "I have become all things to all people to bring all people to Jesus Christ. They sometimes messed up. They lost their tempers sometimes. We know that Jesus overturned the tables as he came into the temple. I will not overturn the tables of chili in Hosea Hall. Very different thing, and I can't wait to partake. Yet, apart from those very human moments when they were perhaps tired and weary, they were generally always gentle lights, a gentle, soft light. Jesus said in today's gospel, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus reminds us that the Pharisees and the scribes did not possess the kind of righteousness, the kind of light, gentle light, that gets one into the kingdom of God. They were self-righteous and they were judgmental. Thomas A. Kempis, in his great 15th century classic, The Imitation of Christ, wrote the following. He said, "The highest and most profitable learning is this, that one have a truthful knowledge and full despising of him or herself. More not to presume of himself or herself, but always to judge and think well and blessedly of another." He concluded, "It's a sign and token of great wisdom and of great perfection and of singular grace." A truth of the 15th century that is just as true today. So you search yourself to know God. And in doing so, you come to know Jesus Christ. That's what the lessons are about today. It's about a faith which is the bridge between ourselves and God. The courage to look within ourselves to what brings us to God. God is within you. And that faith that you have is the bridge that brings you to that God, that Christ. The wisdom of the world is not a bad thing, but it is if you let it be an obstruction to God and finding Jesus Christ in God. God is within you. As Paul proclaimed, we know Jesus Christ is crucified and risen, and as God's Spirit comes into you, you are called to become a gentle light, a gentle light of the gospel, of the good news, of God's compassion and love, to serve and to bring to others. In Christ's name, amen.